Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome to our final segment here on Circles of Change. It's a pleasure. We're sticking right here, this common thread of being in the art world for this hour, and welcoming Denny Fisher, who's co-founder of the Arts of Life. How are you this morning, Denny?
Good. How are you?
Terrific. Well, welcome to the Circles of Change show.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Very good. Let me introduce Denny. She's co-founder of Arts of Life. She started in 2000 to create an innovative fine and performing arts program model to serve and advocate for people with developmental disabilities. An executive director for 8 years now, Denny is a respected expert known for both compassion and creativity to help others. As a child, she assisted her mother in the special education classroom and later went on to volunteer at the Special Olympics, as well as work as a summer counselor and cabin leader at New York's Camp Jened. Denise has her BA in education and psychology from Eastern Illinois University, worked for 10 years in residential and support services for people with developmental disabilities. The Arts of Life, of course, is accredited by the Council of Quality and Leadership. And under Denny's leadership as executive director now, she's recruited artists of all forms, painters, designers, singers, musicians, and even the theater arts. Her staff and board members that have really extended their impact beyond those with disabilities to those who attend their programs, as well as at their several studios, to now raising an exciting consciousness level amidst the greater art community and patrons in Chicago. So, Denny, tell us, what prompted you to take that leap, probably of faith, to start this not-for-profit?
Yeah, it was a little bit of a leap of faith. I think I was young and naive and thought that we could create this great program and people would just come. And it started, the inspiration is a woman that I worked with before I started the Arts of Life. I was on the residential side of programming supports for people with disabilities, mm-hmm. and I fell in love with somebody that we worked with, and she didn't like where she worked during the day, and I didn't like how unhappy she was, so I asked what she wanted to do, and she clearly wanted to be an art maker, so we started the program together, and I started it for her. Her name's Veronica Kukulich.
Yeah.
And that was, we started working on it together in 99. It took us about a year, and we opened our doors in January of 2000.
That's wonderful. And tell us about Ronnie.
Oh, Ronnie. Ronnie's somebody who has been through a lot and still has a lot of joy, and I feel like people are drawn to her for that reason. She was, she passed away a few years ago.
That's a
But when we met, she was in a residential program. We were neighbors. That's actually how I met her and how I got involved in that program, is that I would walk my dog past her house, and I knew that their house is a little different than the rest of our houses, and so I stopped by to see what was going on, and I became friends with Ronnie. She grew up in Chicago, and she was at the age where when you were younger, your parents just kind of placed you someplace. That's mm-hmm. what doctors recommended. And so at about the age of 7, she was taken out of her home and placed into Dixon State School. And she just graduated through the state system, and then she was in a nursing home. And then finally she met John Wink, who moved her into Ascilla, and that's how I met her. She's a self-taught artist. She's always been super creative. And so she was making art as a way to kind of relax after work at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked her if she just wanted to extend that to a full-time job.
And isn't that a marvelous partnership? In fact, what we find is, regardless of whatever we call a disability, that someone excels, though, in all the other or several of the other pockets of their portfolio of life. And so to see the tremendously creative capability, I'm sure, in the clients and the individuals that take advantage of your studio, it must really be breathtaking.
It is. It's amazing. It's we use art as a tool to teach independence and advocacy, but the art-making piece is really phenomenal here at the studio. They're professional artists. They should be respected just as any other professional artist. What we find, one of the interesting things that we find when we have interns and volunteers come in, we have a lot of students that come in from Columbia and the Art Institute, and we see that their practice changes from working alongside our artists because they're so so intuitive, and they've never really learned that this is how things move along in the creative process. They just are very instinctive, and it changes the perspective of a lot of the artists that come in and work with our folks.
Isn't that something?
It's really rewarding for everybody.
The segment we had right before you, we spoke with an artist, of course, who talked about the benefits of his formal art training. And in some regards, you're talking about that still that intuitive drive can actually unleash a lot of potential that might otherwise be constricted from the rules, the books, the process.
Right. Yeah, I think it's a good blend, especially for students.
Yeah.
They get the foundation and the practical experience, and then they come to our program and see what it's like to just open up and just take art the way that you feel it and put it where you think it should go. And so I feel like having both kind of exposure is really changes somebody's fundamental practice.
Isn't that great? We're speaking with Denny Fisher, who's co-founder of Arts of Life. You can visit their website at artsoflife.org. Denny, explain some of the programs and the various facets of your organization then.
Our organization runs around four core values that we work through, that our artists work through every single day. And aside from the creating artistic expression, we have developing independence, building community, and promoting self-respect.
Mm-hmm.
So every day, everybody that works at the studio kind of works through those core values. And in terms of our art mediums, the program operates organically based on the members. So we meet monthly, and everything that people want to do is brought to those meetings, and then the programs just grow. So the two programs that we have are completely different from each other. But some of the programs that are offered between the two are music and performance and horticulture. We have a health and wellness initiative. So we have some yogis that come in twice a week to do yoga with our folks. We have a dance person that's going to the North Shore to do some dance with people. So it really depends on what the current needs are, and it's constantly evolving based on the membership that we have. We have some people that come to the studio every day of the week, and they've been coming for years. We have some people that come a few hours a week, and they've been coming for a short time. So really, every time we get together, we learn something new about the program, and it continues to evolve.
And what's the age group that are members of your program?
It's an adult program, so our youngest artist is just aged out of high school. They're 22, and then we go all the way into the 60s.
That's wonderful. Well, I noticed out on the website, by the way, again, for folks listening, it's artsoflife.org, a very whimsical illustration and a DVD called Get the Dinosaurs on the Phone. Tell us about that DVD.
Yeah, that's a really exciting project.
That's a classic.
Probably one of the best things that our North Shore folks have been involved in. We partnered with a volunteer who has a production company, and they wanted to do a video. They were inspired by the Chicago studio because they have a video called Shark Attack. The North Shore had to do a video project. And so we partnered with Shane, and he just took it to the next level. He turned it into a full-on production. We had people come in. We built sets. We were driving down the middle of the street. We rented a hotel room. And the artists wrote and produced and directed and designed and sewed. They did it from start to finish.
And it's what a fabulous result to hold that in their hand and then for you to offer it now as a product through your website.
Yeah, it was great. And we'd really like to give a shout out to Tower Guard, which is Shane Simmons' production group. We had this concept, but it would have never been what it was without that partnership. It was really great for the whole community.
And I'm sure that's what I would say, is that if we had Shane on the air with us right now, he'd be actually thanking you for the opportunity to tap into this whole stream of additional creative people.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, again, like I said with the interns, every time somebody comes into the studio, that it just changes their perspective, not only on disability and, you know, what people have to offer, but also their practice and what they feel they have to give and the values that they have in life.
That's lovely. Well, you know, I know many of our listeners are in more traditional organizations, from small businesses up to corporate life. And so you mentioned that organically your programs are driven by the members themselves. So I must say that I can't imagine what it's like to walk into a room in a formal meeting sense, or maybe an informal meeting sense, of artists collaborating on a project plan. It must be a really pretty wild process to be part of.
It is. We all have, I mean, we're all very strong individuals and we all have something to bring. And so it is, it starts as a, you know, a idea, a small idea, and then it just, it continues to grow. And once you're in the community, you can kind of get a sense of when it's, where it's supposed to be. I feel like that's what our staff are really good at, is helping the artists grow their ideas into something that we can manage as an organization, into something that's really a true vision of what they thought of when they mentioned the idea.
Yeah, that's lovely. Back to your core principles for the Arts of Life programs is that, you know, the idea of developing independence, but I get the sense that also it's about this co-creation or creating dependence that makes sense too.
Right. It's developing independence and understanding and seeing the positive aspects of interdependence.
Yeah.
So we work together to learn the value of each other, and then we use that value as a tool and something that's helpful as we grow personally.
Well, I started out with asking you the question about how you came to partner with Ronnie and launch this. The idea for you personally, Denny, then of letting go of, you know, what I'd say, what a more structured business setting or not-for-profit work, and going into the chartered land of the unknown, whether that be forming the 501(c) or attracting your staff and building a board, is this something you always envisioned you'd want to get involved in?
I always knew, that's a good question. I feel like I always knew that this was a population that I wanted to support. I feel like this is my community, just as much as it's anybody else's community. And what I found in my professional life that was missing is that I was always put in a role where I was the smartest person in the room and I was the one that was supposed to be navigating services and telling people what was best for them. And I didn't feel comfortable in that situation. It wasn't a good match for me. So I felt like there was an opportunity to develop something where I use my intelligence, because that was maybe a skill set that I had that somebody else didn't have as well, and help them learn what to do instead of just do for them. And so I was really trying to find how I could make that happen. And it seemed like a natural fit with Ronnie, because I didn't know anything about art making. So all I was doing was helping her understand how we run a program around this concept that was truly hers. So we kind of met each other in the middle, and I brought in the, you know, just the skill set of what I learned in the field so far, and she brought in the arts, and we brought in a couple other people with similar interests, and so it was nice. It was really refreshing for both of us, actually.
So really, whether you knew it or not, you were really playing to what strengths you brought to the table and then augmenting that with others around you.
Right.
And I love that comment that you learned with them versus doing for them. You know, I think that's a challenge for anyone who wants to do the greater good, whether it be people specifically in a caregiving role or us even as parents, that our job is really to set the context or the environment for others to flourish within.
Right. It's a slower process. I feel like that's one thing we've learned.
That's a good point.
It takes time, but it's definitely worth it.
And, you know, in the fact that you said it's organic, that means that at some points you have to stop some things as well as start some new things.
Right.
Yeah. Denny, the Arts of Life, of course, you have a variety of programs that, as you said, are moving forward or changing and shifting. Do you have any new events coming up in the near term?
And the first weekend in April would be Ronnie's birthday. So we usually celebrate April around Ronnie, and we tie that in with our volunteers and facilitators. So we have a show that continues to show her work and showcase her spirit. One of our old staff members created a documentary of her life, so we show that. And then the next big thing we have after that is our summer carnival, which is in June the 15th on a Saturday, and it's at our North Shore studio, and that's more of a event to try and get the community to come and see the program. We have a small exhibition of work from both of the studios, and we have games and a dunk tank and a silent auction and raffle prizes and a clown. Ice Cream Team is a huge partner of ours, and they bring all of their performers to help us out with that event.
That's lovely. How is our listeners could help you today?
We always enjoy having volunteers. We can't. We really. Our program wouldn't be as good as it is without it. Without volunteers, we have a really small staff. So anybody that's interested in anything could help us out. It's not just art making. It's grant writing and database and event planning and financial support. Donating to the studio, the donations that we get go directly to support the program. We have really low overhead, so most of the money that people would want to donate would go directly to supplies for the artists or transportation. I think those are the two big ways that we could help.
That's great. And so do you take donations in kind in terms of art supplies as well?
We do.
That's wonderful. That's great. The music side, we had talked about the Get the Dinosaurs on the Phone side. I know also out on your site, artsoflife.org, you've got quite a band assembled there, a musical group performance. So
we
those
do.
Are some of the artists. Tell us about that performing group.
We do. The Chicago studio has the Arts of Life Band, and they've been around for 6 years. It started almost as soon as we started. We opened the studio. We started doing drum circles and just kind of exploring music, even though nobody knew anything about it. And then our artistic director, Ryan Shookum, who just moved back to California, unfortunately, when he came along, he was a musician, and he took it to the next level, and he created a band that's fully integrated as non-disabled and disabled people in it. They play at venues all over Chicago, similar to any other band. They play, I guess what's different is that they play almost every single kind of music, so it's something that's definitely for everybody. Every artist gets to create whatever they wanted, so if you go to our show, you'll get a little bit of country, you'll get a little bit of rap, you'll get a little bit of rock, you'll get a little bit of pop. It showcases every kind of genre.
That's wonderful. And the type of instruments that are included, what is involved in the band?
It's a pretty traditional band. I mean, it's the bass, drum, guitar. I think there's a second guitar now. There's a keyboard. There's some maracas. There's a tambourine. It just depends on the song, but it's pretty traditional.
Yeah, that's great. So as you step back here, Denny, and look at the organization, so you've been in business now and created this in the year 2000, where do you see it going forward? You've mentioned you have two different studios in Chicago, right? Is it a matter of trying to expand the number of students that are contributing or artists that are participating or new locations? What's on the horizon for you?
You know, that's a really good question. We've just started to talk about our next strategic plan and where we want the organization to go. We are still settling into the North Shore studio, our second location. That's not exactly where we're at. We want it to be, in terms of numbers. So I think what we'd like to focus on, Emily Smith, our development manager, has been with us for a few years now, and she's spending some time just reaching out to people and really trying to spread the word and grow our community and grow the supporters and our constituents so that we have a good foundation, and then we'll be able to work with our artists to see how we want to move forward.
Yeah. Your own training then, Denny, it sounds like it was your connection with Ronnie that you saw the power of art. And as we've just said here in the show today, other individuals have mentioned how art is such an important investment in our lives. The fact that you're using it as a medium as well as the kind of the draw for your students and your members to participate, it really, art transcends then all sorts of different audiences. Have you been surprised then over these years, the reactions that you've gotten from the community to the nature of the art that your members have created?
Yeah, we continue to be surprised by the reaction that people have. I feel like people start thinking that we're probably really crafty and probably are doing hook rugs and we're probably painting by numbers, and that there's a lot of facilitation by trained artists. And so it's really great to have something in the public where we can showcase that that our art is very similar to any other art that people could purchase and look at, and that the facilitators aren't really touching the artwork in a way that people think, and that it is fine art, it's not crafty.
Yeah, and so tell us a little bit, perhaps you've mentioned Ronnie. Can you describe it or explain, mention a couple of your other members that have been with you for a while or some new ones that have been drawn to your community?
Sure. We have quite a few artists. We have 50 artists between the two studios. There's the core artists I think Ronnie is the only one that was here from the beginning, but Debbie Vasquez and Bobby Varon have definitely been at the Chicago studio almost that long. We have a couple of people at the North Shore that started the program with us, Katie Brashears, and then we have Rebecca Turner, who's been with us for a few years now, and Montel Payne is somebody that we've been following every year. He's a year with us, and every year we write a story about him so you can track the progress of how he's doing and kind of see the studio through his eyes.
Which is a wonderful thing, because the environment, like you said, if all your programs are organic, the members are changing, the staff are changing and growing, that you're kind of in this constant reinvention mode. The type of art that they're doing from a visual standpoint, is it predominantly painting, or is it still a whole a mixture?
The Chicago studio has started a Imprints for Equality initiative, which is a print program. Mm-hmm. So we are doing printing on shirts and paper and just any kind of fiber. And other than that, people kind of do whatever they want. We do, for sure, a lot of painting and drawing and use that those kind of mediums. But there are people that work in clay. We have an artist at our North Shore studio who does a lot of tactile art, so she does a lot of three-dimensional
art. Fabulous,
so
the things that everybody gets exposed to in the community. We've been speaking with Denny Fisher. She's co-founder of the Arts of Life. It's artsoflife.org, based out of Chicago, the Chicago area. Denny, of course, the whole world of change and career change, you know, just for you personally, having done, as you said, moving and shifting to a program that really accentuates your organizational skills to partner with someone in the arts. How is it you think, though, that you've changed the most by helping other people change?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. I feel like you change every time you meet somebody. Mm-hmm. So our model works for everybody. It's not just for the people that we support. So I come in as somebody who, you know, thought I had all these skill sets supporting with people with disabilities and running a nonprofit. And then you just learn as you go, and you realize that you don't have exactly the kind of skill sets you thought, and you have this great community that can help you grow them. And I feel like I'm constantly changing as well. Each person I meet gives me a new opportunity to consider what they offer the studio and how we can adapt the studio to make their lives better and what they bring to the table.
Isn't that wonderful? A place to exercise that even for your own personal growth. Denny Fisher, thank you so very much. She's co-founder of the Arts of Life, artsoflife.org in Chicago. All the best. Thanks for contributing to our show today.
Thanks for having me. It's my pleasure.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.